It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. And this hour of Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada, so is our beer. Don't forget, we're giving away an Old Tomorrow Craft Beer prize pack valued at over $100 in honor of Mail It In Friday. So tweet us at Overdrive1050 how you are planning on mailing it in this Friday. Winner must be 19 years of age or older. At Overdrive 1050. All right, we have many friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
And generally, it's one of us that brings them in, and then they become a friend of the show. But we're all kind of connected to this next guy.
Yes.
He had a long history.
Can we call him a rookie?
Yeah, I suppose he would be a rookie.
I am.
Technically,
he is a rookie.
You are a rookie. You always will be a rookie.
Carlo Colaiacovo, local legend, former Leaf, former first-round pick. Italian.
I was just going to say Italian, too. Like, this guy would just...
Owned
run the table.
The city.
I'm surprised Joe from the Bridge isn't hanging outside the door.
He will be. We got a guy here, Joe from the Bridge. He heard you're around, so he'll be around. What's nice. Happening, buddy? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I've been a big fan of the show. Love listening to you guys. And
you played with Brian Hayes.
I did.
What was
when you were like kids?
Yeah.
How old were you
at the time?
We would have been probably started in
14,
minor peewee.
13, then, 14, 15?
Until you went to the O the year before.
So what's the biggest shock? Brian Hayes, your former teammate hosting this show, or myself, your former teammate with Toronto, on the show?
I would have to say you on the show.
Why?
O-Dog?
Having a job?
You're the last guy I would ever thought be doing something like this.
Give me one good reason why you would never think I would be doing this.
You had your way with the media when you played, and never thought you'd be one of these guys.
Was he one of those
Hazy,
guys?
Hazy, I sort of pictured him in this role because his dad was a radio guy, his uncle was a radio guy, so I'm not surprised. But you, for sure. But you're great at what you do, man. I love listening to you.
He's good, let's circle back.
I just don't understand, though. Like, what did I do to the media?
You didn't do anything, and nothing bad. Just
did nothing.
I knew the way you were.
You hated working with the media, right? Like, you were anti-call-in to shows like this.
Guaranteed,
right?
You were last hour. If your PR,
I could flush calls.
I was just gonna say, if it last hour, he's
you know
JR,
what I would
but
do?
Just dusts us off.
Like, if Steph was the boss of the team or whoever, and she said, call into whoever, I'd be like, no, tell Carlo to do it.
Exactly.
Is that what would happen?
Exactly.
So you would have to call into shows like this.
Yeah, 100%.
Because of him.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to a point where you were booked on a show like this and you forgot about it and you essentially stiffed them? Did you ever pull that off?
No. I mean, it's like I told you, I love doing stuff like this. I love sitting and talking to guys about sports and hockey or whatever it may be, and I enjoy doing this stuff.
Even as a player. See, that's the thing. Like, these guys, they're removed, right? And you're still playing. You're in Europe this year. You're going back next year, I believe.
Correct, yeah.
But you're still so connected to the game, you're still playing. These guys, I mean, it's a different story because you're removed from the game. It's easy to be a part of the media now and want to do it. But I'm sure revisionist history comes into play a little bit, right?
We all had different careers, right? So, like, for me, I did media, but I wasn't a guy who was sought after. That's why, I mean, I used to joke, like, you were a media darling here in Toronto because local boy. When I played in Calgary, there were two guys that were on my TV every morning when I woke up. It was you, Carlo or Stage, Matt Stajan.
Yeah.
Those were the two poster boys for the Toronto Maple Leafs for years.
Which is strange because this year you got Marner, who's from Toronto, Hyman from Toronto, Brown from Toronto, and Matthews took up 90% of the talk.
Dage and Carlo were on TV, Jamie, because everyone else was in their car. That's why they were on TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the way I look at the Leafs nowadays, they do things differently. I think with Lou coming in and Babcock having the reins there, they've set rules on which guys you can talk to, which guys you can't talk to, and what they can say and what they can't say.
What do you make of it when people on the outside are like, do you want to... The big question is always, do you want to go to Toronto later in your career and deal with all that stuff? For you, what does deal with all that stuff mean? And do you think it would be like a hindrance if you were on the outside looking in?
I think for any new person coming into an environment like Toronto can be tough. But it's the normal stuff that you would have to deal with anywhere in a big market.
Until you start playing like garbage.
Until you start playing like garbage. If you go there and do what you're supposed to do and act the way you're supposed to act, Toronto's a great place to play.
What was the routine? I mean, you said immediately you shut a lot of friends and family down as far as ticket requests and stuff. Like the close ones you kept, obviously. But how does being a local boy, being drafted right here, like, did you lay it out early on? Like, hey, I only get a certain amount. Like, I couldn't imagine what today's game is like with social media and all your friends reaching out, texting and that. Like,
well, Facebook, right? You'd still be connected to people that you weren't even friends with.
It would be a circus.
Yeah.
Like, did you have to lay out parameters, or was it just kind of you had either your wife or your mom or your parents handle it?
Yeah, it was very overwhelming at first that I just didn't really set any rules. I just tried to make everybody happy.
Oh.
And, you know, media back then wasn't what it is now.
Right.
With people, how easy it is to keep in touch with people.
Right.
But later in my career, when I would make the odd visit to come to Toronto, it was like it got harder and harder as with every visit, with ticket requests and seeing people after the game, and you know, it's never fun when you're part of that or have to deal with that. You just want to focus on playing hockey, but it can be overwhelming.
That was the biggest circus for me.
Yeah.
You get 10 minutes to visit your family afterwards, and there's 78 people.
Yeah.
Well, you see that in Toronto all the time, right? Like, when we're there after the game, it is amazing how many family members and friends are still kicking around for every single team in the league.
Right.
Carlo Colaiacovo in studio. So you look back on it. Would you have preferred to play with a guy like Lou running the ship, where you wouldn't do interviews, you wouldn't be accessible? Would you have preferred to be in that situation as a rookie?
No. I mean, I think you got to pay your dues. You got to do what you're supposed to do as a professional when asked upon. I think the good thing that you're seeing with Lou and the management staff that they have here is they've set standards for each player, and they have certain rules, whether it's no facial hair or whatever it may be. There's probably more rules that we know about that are behind the scenes.
Right.
And I think when Babcock first signed here, I think the one thing that he really stressed is making it a safe place to play. And I think you've seen that. These young kids are protected. They're not really in the media negatively, whether it's in the papers or in on TV. And all the success they've had this year is because they've created that environment.
Yeah. Well, you got to give them credit, right? You got to give credit to the players first and foremost, because they didn't show up. And, yeah, they were handed a lot because of their status. Matthews was going to be the king of the city the second they won the lottery. But then he scores 40 goals and ends up with almost 70 points.
Right.
You know what?
You think he has fun as a single guy in Toronto, Carlo?
Not at all. Not at all.
What would that be like? The lifestyle of Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
I would honestly, even if I thought he was the biggest jerk of life, I would try to be his best friend.
Yeah.
As a teammate, you're saying? You would straddle up?
Just be a straggler in his entourage.
Yeah.
It would be a sight to see.
Well, you guys would have witnessed Sundin's entourage.
Yeah, I was very close with Matt Sundin, and there were some times where he didn't want to go out with a bunch of guys. He would just say, hey, do you want to go here? And
there was a
it's
time?
It's a production.
It is. It is. I witnessed some of it, too.
Yeah, it's just...
And you know what? The good thing about Toronto is that you come here, you do well, you're going to be recognized no matter where you go. And it's about... acting accordingly when you're out. Nowadays, it's so easy to be exposed when you're outside of the rink with camera phones and social media and stuff like that. So you do have to be a little careful, a little cautious of what you do, but it doesn't stop you from having fun. I mean, you're a celebrity in this city. People are going to treat you like it, you know, no matter where you're at.
Carlo Colaiacovo in studio. What's it like to be a celebrity in St. Louis, Missouri? Because I have this vibe of the city, and admittedly, I've never been there, so this is the most ignorant take.
Yeah.
But I just, all I can think of, I don't know why. I just feel like it's a donkey town that just has nothing going for it. These guys vouch for it. Noodles thinks it's like the greatest place on earth.
No, I think it's a great city.
It's a hidden gem.
You're a fan of St. Louis.
Yes.
You were there for what, 4 years, I think?
4.5, maybe 5.
Yeah, you went back there later in your career, right? All right, so you're a fan of St. Louis.
Big fan of St. Louis. It's, like I said, it's a hidden gem. It's a great sports town, laid-back kind of city. Everybody there that plays there will say the same thing. They love it there. I agree with you. If you know nothing about it, being on the outside looking in, it could be a scrub town. But if you're there living it and seeing what it's all about, it's a great place to live.
See, that's the thing, though, about being a player. You guys do have access to every city you're in that is not the norm.
Right.
I go to St. Louis right now and live there for a month, I'm sure I'm not coming back
You'd be all right? You'd call Kelly Chase.
I would call him
and
Chaser.
And your boy Chaser would, like, give you the VIP
That's a
routine.
Good point.
Depends on what time of year you go, too. Like,
right.
Winter time, it's cold and there's not really much to do other than hockey. But the weather there for most of the year is pretty nice. I mean, February to October, or actually say March to October, you're wearing summer clothes. And, you know, when baseball season is going on there, it's...
Man, they love the Cardinals, don't they?
They do.
See, and I...
And it's a great place to be downtown when the Cardinals are playing.
See, I can't... I was lucky because my whole career kind of in St. Louis, we were a really good team. We won the President's Trophy. It seemed like we won all the time. Like, we won at home. Our home record was great. So we would play Thursday, Saturday, and you'd have Sunday off. I was single.
Saturday night was go time.
I'd hang out with Chris Pronger, who won the Hart Trophy. Our buddy was Mark McGuire, who lived in our building. Like, it was ridiculous. And Mac was hitting 70 home runs. Like, it was, you go out with, talk about riding coattails. Like, I'm going out with those two. And I'm Joe Scrub, but it was such a neat experience. But it's a great city, and you know, talk about baseball. They had the Rams back then.
Yeah.
I know that's
well, that's a sour note.
It is a sour note.
Bringing that up.
It's a great sports city, and Chicago's just up the road. We had a big rivalry with them.
Huge rivalry.
Yeah, like it was just there. It's a solid city, and a lot of that's, you know, Carla was saying off air. I believe it's one of the biggest NHL alumni in the league. I know the Leafs is obviously massive, but
they take care of their former players.
Take care of guys,
and a lot of guys stay there and live there.
Yeah,
when they're done.
Well, you hear that about Buffalo, right? And you spent some time in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You lived there even beyond your playing days.
Spent the
Buffalo.
Summer there. I liked it a lot. I mean, other than the weather in the wintertime, but you deal with that.
You grew up in Toronto. I mean, it's the same
like
thing,
it's
right?
You're playing hockey, so. In wintertime, you're used to being around snow and cold and whatever it may be. But organizationally, we had a great owner with a great arena, a great dressing room. And unfortunately, they haven't had the success there that they wanted. But I really enjoy living there. And the fact that I'm so close to home, too, being in Toronto, made it, you know, extra special being closer to family.
Carlo Colaiacvo in studio. You guys all kind of played in some random American cities. Like, you guys were both in St. Louis, you were in Carolina, you played in Buffalo, you were in Philly for a bit.
Philly, Detroit.
Detroit's obviously got the history. But
I was mini expansion.
You played in mini.
Florida. Yeah.
What was that like?
Florida Panthers
I've never played in a city with a warm climate.
It was, I thought I was basically, I'd signed a 3-year deal, Mike Keenan signed me, and he signed a bunch of veteran guys. We had a really young group of players. You had Jay Bomeister, Steven Weiss, Nathan Horton, Yuri Kolnick, all of these young, like, 19-year-old players. And they were pretty good. Had a great goalie in Roberto Luongo. I signed a 3-year deal, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go and just retire there. I bought a house. I grew my hair long. I bought a 1975 Cadillac Eldorado. I drove it to the rink every day with the top down, like, short sandals. It was unreal. And the problem is they built the rink in the wrong place. You know, it sucks driving.
It's like
out
every ownership seems to do that, though, right?
Like
in Phoenix, Ottawa's had that problem.
Yeah, but I lived in downtown Fort Lauderdale. I would drive to the Elbow Room, you know, after games, have a few beers.
That's not
there.
Fun at all.
It was terrible. And even in the afternoon, I don't like.
You never
water.
Get recognized I've, either. Like,
no.
When, like, how many Panthers fans are like? There's they have their own fans down there, but
right. But it's you go unnoticed in
just
the public eye.
You could care less about the Florida Panthers.
Well, I would consider them a fairly irrelevant team. they're
He's
up there with Jersey.
He's been on this kick lately about irrelevant teams.
Yeah, I took a run at a couple of teams.
But Florida was great. I don't swim, but I would go and sit by the ocean and sit in this little chair and kind of read a book in the afternoons. It was awesome.
Yeah, see that? I mean, there's so many options. There's so many different variables. Like we keep talking about Matthews. We always talk about Matthews. Matthews grew up in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Toronto could not be any different.
Right.
And I think we always have this concern because we talk about Toronto kids always coming home, right?
Yeah.
Stamkos is going to come home, then Subban, then Tavares, and it never happens. The irony would be if the Arizona kid left Toronto after 7 years. Yeah. He becomes a UFA and he's like, I'm out of here, man. I don't want to live here.
I'm going to play for the Coyotes.
I'm going home to play for the Coyotes. But it makes you wonder, like, you know, the weather's can be awful at times. And that kid grew up in 35-degree weather all the time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Toronto offers you something that Arizona doesn't, and that's a fan base, a history, a building that's packed every single night. And a team that now is moving in the right direction.
I'm pretty sure if you talk to Austin Matthews, he's pretty happy being in a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Yeah, I couldn't have.
I mean, although this day and age, it'd be tough to go out like we used to do and just kind of have fun and do whatever we want. But I'm pretty sure he understands that. I think he's the most famous guy in the city right now.
Could be.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting poll question. Who would be more famous than Matthews in Toronto?
Yeah, you're talking Josh Donaldson. Kyle Lowry.
Drake, potentially, if you're going down that
road.
Yeah,
but he's right there. And that's why he had to dress like with the jean tuxedo on the other day.
Yeah, the Bernie Lomax.
The glasses on the game. Like,
did you ever deal with any concussions? I know you've had multiple other injuries. But
yes. I had a really bad concussion my year in Toronto.
What do you make of Sidney Crosby? The idea of him possibly coming back is...
It's crazy when you really think about it. I mean, considering how bad that hit looked, I mean, if you had to compare the two, the one that he had the first time at the outdoor game compared to this one, I think this one looks way worse.
Do you not find it bizarre how it's like two, three days later and it's like he's skating back on the same line?
Yeah, very, very bizarre.
I don't know.
I can't imagine he plays, but at the same time, I was shocked he was practicing today.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the tricky thing about concussions is that everybody's different.
Yeah.
And there is no proper diagnosis for it. For me, I've always been a believer since I had my really bad one. You get knocked in the head, you get stingers, you get, you know, your bell rung, you have that feeling. The worst advice I believe you can give somebody that has a head injury is to do nothing. Because then your body gets used to doing nothing. And then the minute you start doing something...
Starts acting
you feel
up.
Crap,
yeah.
And you're telling yourself, oh, man, I feel like crap. I think what he's doing is maybe okay, that he's...
Testing it.
Doing some stuff to keep himself active and see what happens.
That's interesting.
McKenzie was talking about that yesterday. The new kind of protocol is like you start with this, and if that doesn't work and you have headaches or whatever, then you tone it back.
Yeah.
But the idea of doing nothing, I don't think that's part of the game plan anymore.
Yeah, I sure hope it isn't because, you know, guys that I've seen have concussions that I play with that just are told to do nothing, just go home and rest, I think that's the worst thing you can do.
Well, you think about it. When you're in mid-season form and you take 2 days off, you feel like garbage anyways.
Yeah.
Like it takes you a while to...
I'm training for the 10K right now.
I'm always at my worst after a day off. Because after a day off, I do nothing.
You feel like garbage. And
you know?
It is interesting that's the thought process now. I'd be shocked if he plays. I like that they're trying. I mean, everyone's different. I got knocked out one night in St. Louis. I played 2 days later.
But it was a different era. That's the thing. Like the education.
But I did go through the protocol.
Right, I know, but and here's the thing with Sid, and I don't like the fact that a lot of these amateur doctors are telling him what he should do with his life and all that kind of stuff, but it is his fifth concussion.
Mm-hmm.
He's had major problems, and we were talking about this earlier. Like, if he were to reach out to a guy like Keith Primo or Pat LaFontaine or Lindros, I'd be curious to find out what he would say to him. I mean... Yeah.
What they would say to
exactly. Like in let's put you in that spot. You've had a concussion.
Yeah.
You continued your career and you're fine now. But if he were to call you, if Crosby called you and said, Carlo Colaiacovo, take me through your routine and take me through how you think I should be feeling about this whole situation, what would you say to him?
I think the only advice I could say to him is you know your body and you got to trust that he's going to make the best decision that's best for him. I mean, he's taken the proper steps in the past, and you would hope that he's going to take the proper steps now, because you would hate to lose a player with, like that, that's so important to the game, for to a career-ending injury at such a young age.
Right.
I mean...
But he's got to think long-term.
Oh, 100%
too, right?
He does. 100% he does. I mean, nobody knows what life is like after hockey. I mean, I've had a concussion. I could lose my memory 10 years from now. You know, hopefully I don't.
But right.
It's the tricky part about concussions. You just don't know. Even with all the research that's out there and everything that doctors and specialists are saying, it's tricky. It's a tricky thing.
Well, I mean... I hope everything works out for him. I think everyone's on the same page, even if you hate right. on yeah. the Pens and hate on Crosby. The guy, first of all, he's human. Secondly, he's a great, great player, and he's an ambassador for the sport. But he's in a tough spot. I mean, he really yeah, is. He's not a kid anymore.
No, and you know what? They've got a team potentially to win it again, and maybe right. that's what's, you know, pushing the fire underneath them, is that, hey, like, if I can push through this and give ourselves a chance at another cup, and maybe when I'm done, the season's over, it'll hit them, or you hope it doesn't. But I mean,
well, that's a good point, though, right? That's a good point. Like, if this team, if they were,
he could be on the adrenaline rush right now, where he's got his sights set on another Stanley Cup.
Well, mm-hmm. we were talking earlier, like, if he wins another one, does he hang him up and just yeah. say? But he says he doesn't think he will.
I don't think he's I mean. Listen, I think he wants to win as much as he can, but yeah. even if he were to hang him up, he's still got two cups, a bunch of Hart trophies, two gold medals. What more, in terms of material items, does he have to gain here to prove who he is and what he's done as a player?
I mean, you're
guy's
right.
The man.
You're right.
Just about staying relevant, I would think, for a guy like that of his caliber. It's like, we all know it, and it's coming for everybody. Once you say, I'm done playing hockey, you just become a regular guy.
You're right.
Right.
And it's
you're right.
Sidney Crosby, as popular as he is, you've seen people come through this building that are former superstars, and they're either broadcast, they're regular guys.
They are. I tell people this all the time, and Carl, like, play as long as you can, but what are you going to do for the next 50 years?
Yeah.
Like, you want to have a quality of life. You want to.
When I called Jim Rutherford, or he called me, and I was on my way home, he goes, I'm just warning you right now, I appreciate the fact that you don't want to play hockey anymore.
Right.
You tried to make a comeback, you didn't do it. I'm just warning you, life is long. You're 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got another 50 plus years to live.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I know when the season's over and I take a week off, 2 weeks off,
yeah.
I'm bored out of my mind.
I used to take a solid month.
Mid-season sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Month or two. Oh, no, Stoopsie. 1 month.
Then right back in the gym, just grinding.
Why would?
I hear you, man. I'm with you. All right, Carlo Colaiacovo's in here. We're going to come back and get to future headlines. We'll keep teeing up the weekend action. Don't forget, Raptors, Cavs can be heard right here on TSN 1050. Look at Nebauskas down there just putting in work on SportsCenter.
Yeah. These two are in.
Look at Nebauskas.
The love affair, these two.
These two are quite
they
something.
They just think they're so cool.
The coolest guys on TV, Nebauskas.
Covering the Raptors.
Oh, yeah. Carlo's in studio. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Carlo Colaiacovo's in here. He's going back to Europe this year. You're over in what, Germany, I think it is?
Yeah, Mannheim, Germany.
You like it over there, huh?
Love it.
We had someone actually tweet in from Germany, I guess, who listens to the show. When you tweeted out today that you were coming on,
yeah.
and he wrote back, he said, you better not chirp our team because I will make sure that everyone knows about it.
Man, I'm telling you, it's a different animal over there. European hockey gives you such a great appreciation for the game. The fans are so awesome during the game. It's soccer-style atmosphere. We play in a building that holds 12,000 that's sold out every night, and the chants and... the craziness you'd see in soccer games is what you see in a hockey rink. And
really?
As a player, it's so much fun to play in, man, honestly.
The rules in that league, I had a buddy, I believe he may have played in Mannheim. His name is Jason Holland. He's retired. But, like, he was a pretty good defenseman. He signed with a rival team during the season.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time, apparently.
You can sign with a rival team.
What's the bar play like, though?
What do you mean? Like, sorry, hold on a second.
Okay, so you're playing for a team. He's under contract, for example. He's under contract with Mannheim, but he can sign. Who's
midway through the season, you can sign a deal with Munich.
Because you get a
for
better deal
season.
Or something?
No, yeah. no
oh, for
next year.
For next year, yeah.
So he knows he's playing in
Munich
next
crazy,
year.
It's crazy, man. And They take that stuff to heart over there, man. It's like cutthroat.
How could you continue to play for that team?
But he's like, yeah, no, he told me, he called me
Wouldn't
one time.
Wouldn't you shut
like,
your mouth and say, don't announce this till the end
no,
of
No, like, they, it's...
But
it's,
the other team that signs with a contract, announce it.
He signed halfway through the
like
season
this year,
with the rival team.
This year, player in
That's
Cologne.
That's why I never...
Player in Cologne, where the World Championships is this year.
Yeah.
Midway through, just before playoffs, signed with Munich, an arch rival.
Yeah.
And the team didn't play him in the playoffs because they were so mad at him.
Isn't that
for signing
crazy?
With an arch rival.
Like, it feels like a gutless move, but I guess the rules are the rules, and you got to look after yourself.
Yeah,
but
it's cutthroat, man.
That was crazy.
What's the bar play like? Like, what we refer to as bar play, like if you're Austin Matthews and you go to a bar in Toronto, your play is...
It's through the roof.
Through the roof, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're the leading scorer, the stud of your team, and you go to the bar after, what kind of action are you picking up on?
You're picking up. But... It's different, too, because of the language barrier.
No kidding.
A lot of people in Germany do speak English, but you go into a bar scene and you're trying to talk to somebody, and all they do is talk back in German. It's like, okay, I'm out of here.
A little bit of gritty.
You've
got
it's
to
different.
Navigate through those muddy waters.
It's different. But if you're a local guy, celebrity, and you're top player on the team and you're out...
Well, soccer players in Europe, man. It's not like you think. Imagine Ronaldo rolling through like some small Portuguese town.
Because they make $30 million a year. Yeah.
But they're also like soccer is so like over here. Football's huge, clearly, but baseball's big, basketball big,
right.
Hockey, NASCAR, college sports. In Europe, it's soccer, and then everything else is so much lower.
You're a soccer player in Europe. You just gear down and get a private room.
You don't need
you
to
gear down and you get a VIP
right after it.
I didn't know you could say that on radio.
No,
sometimes you can.
That.
We're talking about Europeans. We're allowed
HR
to do
is always like their office is right outside our door.
Love it.
They're hanging around every once in a while.
But those soccer players, man,
they're great athletes. A lot of them are
like
small
couple,
little guys, though.
They are, but there was a couple 30 million stars like in Toronto a couple years ago, and I think I was out with like Mike Johnson, and we were at a bar, and these guys just walked in and bought like the bar, like the table, and throwing like $20,000 around. Like it was nothing. That's
well,
nothing
plus
to them.
The exchange rate, euros to Canadian, that's a great exchange
oh,
rate,
man.
Right?
Is it nice?
Like the euro is, what, 2.5 or something like that?
It's close. I mean... Euro to Canadian, you're almost making 50 cents on the dollar right
there
now.
There you go.
And you're making 20 million euros.
Yeah.
No kidding. Like, that's the thing. You're talking, like, Ronaldo's got to be close to
You know
a
what? If a soccer player came over here and decided to have a night out and didn't throw that kind of coin around,
yeah, exactly.
I'd be upset.
Yeah, they'd be
That's a good point. You're in town for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, you roll in with Juventus or something. Have a good time.
Exactly.
All right, we want to get to some Pat Quinn stories as well, because you guys both shared him as a coach. And
we got a guy.
Did he used to say that a lot?
God bless him.
We got a guy.
Yeah. Who's swimming in the corner like a Zamboni.
Do you remember the game when he had two black eyes?
Yeah.
And all he would do is yell at the refs.
Yeah, and then the puck dropped again and hit him in the face.
In the face, and he's yelling at the ref.
All he would do.
That is outstanding.
But the best thing about him was he would yell at the ref. Like, the puck would drop, and he'd be like, O'Halloran, you're a coward. And we're like, the game hasn't even, like, he hasn't even done anything yet.
Man, I've never seen a coach yell at the ref so much during the game.
Just hates like, the
That's
ref.
All he would do is yell at the ref.
But the best thing before the game, he'd be like, guys, don't yell at the ref tonight.
Yeah.
We got to stop that puck would drop. Carey Frazier, you're a loser.
How did you merge that?
Yeah.
That is
him and Ricky Lee.
You gotta think Ricky Lee. Well, right? I told these guys the only thing I've ever heard Ricky Lee say would be like, Tom Bryan, you're up. That's all he would say. And the rest of you guys would figure out when you were going on the ice, and he'd be like, Tom Bryan, you're up.
Yeah.
Cabrera and McCabe. Yeah. And then the
Tom
other
Tom Bryan,
four,
you're up.
Find your routine when you can. All right, we got Carlo Colaiacovo in here. I'm not sure we've ever done future headlines with a fourth guy.
He can figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get after it. Do it.
Austin Matthews, 4 goals. Do you believe this?
Or
shifts were too long. Got caught out tired. Turned the puck over. Dug it out of our net.
Or
Patterson with the electrifying throwdown.
Or
everybody wants to get paid, and I'm one of those guys included.
Overdrive. Future headlines.
Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 or text us 105050. Your most outrageous future headline every Friday for your chance to win free pizza courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza.
Very simple. There's two different options. You pick one. There's, this guy likes to go in between and make up his own headlines.
We'll figure it out.
All right. But what this is a potential headline for Monday morning in sports.
Gotcha.
Okay. Hayes and the O-Dog limp to the finish line, making Noodles feel embarrassed that he's associated with them. Or Hayes and O cruise through the finish line of the 10K with Noodles on their shoulders in solidarity for their fallen soldier.
I'm going Rudy here, man. We're getting you on our shoulders across the finish line. What do you think of that idea?
I say we cruise through the finish line.
I'm going to say the other way because you're already setting the table that you're going to be in Ottawa. You're unhappy about the weather.
Right.
I'm concerned about your attendance at all. And I think he will battle, but I don't know. Like, you'll end up walking it, and there's no way you'll be able to carry me through as you've
walked. I'm not going to be picking you up on my own. Carlo, what do you think?
I think you guys are going to be grit grinders.
Really?
Cruise through it.
Whoa.
Put them on your shoulders.
There's the support we're looking for. That's the Tony Robbins motivation we need.
I got faith in you. I got faith in you.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you don't. When you first heard that we were doing it, you were like, what?
Flabbergasted.
I was trying to tell these guys that when I played, I actually worked out.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Thank you.
Great role model.
The Raptors show some resiliency, splitting the weekend series against the Cavs, including a blowout win on Friday night. Or LeBron and the Cavs don't let the Raps off the mat as they smoke Toronto in Game 3 and 4 to complete the sweep.
This is a struggle.
Yeah, right?
That was some wordy. My secretary, man, she got wordy there.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. Well, you go first.
Basically, the Raps show some resilience, get some back, or it's a sweep and a blowout. I'm going sweep, blowout.
Carlo?
I agree. Sweep, blowout. No chance.
Do they have no chance?
I think they show up.
Cleveland's too good.
I think they show up one game. One game you're going to get. No,
there's nothing they show up to say that they're going to win one game.
I hope I'm wrong.
I want to believe, too. I'm worried about Lowry and the ankle to begin with. I'm worried that LeBron and company they're going to learn from what happened a year ago. They won the first two games at home, and then the Raptors actually smoked them in Game 3, and they beat them in Game 4. I don't think they're going to allow that to happen again. I'm concerned.
I'll guarantee you Lowry, too, if it gets ugly tonight, he'll be like, I'm not associated with this.
Check, please.
Check, please. Contract's up. Thank you.
See you later. Ninja dust.
Ovechkin and Backstrom redeemed themselves in Game 5, combining for 4 points in a big win. Or Ovi packs his bags for the Worlds as he mails in another game against the victorious Pens.
I think they're going to win Game 5, so just based on that alone.
I think he has a giant Gucci bag pack.
He's going to the Worlds if they're out in the second round.
You think so?
Yes,
he's going. He does every year.
He's going. That's a lock. I'm with you. He will pack his bags quickly, but just based on the fact that I think they're going to win, I think they're going to win Game 5, yeah. So I think Ovi and Backstrom will redeem
themselves. I'm going with Ovi and Backstrom, too, and I think he's going to have a big comeback win.
I'm riding your coattails, too. I believe that there's going to be a Game 5 win, maybe even a Game 6 win, depending on if Crosby plays.
What do you think about this line, though? Lars Eller, Tom Wilson, and Alex Ovechkin.
I think it's just off day. I think it's Trotz trying to move things around. Yeah, a little bit.
Get people thinking, get people talking.
Exactly. Looking at matchups, moving them around the lineup. How old do you think Alex Ovechkin really is?
That's the thing. He's 31, listed at 31, but it wouldn't shock me if he had a couple more.
The versatility. Have you ever played with somebody who like lied about their age, and you thought that maybe
Alex Ovechkin?
Alex.
There you go.
Wow. There's always that.
You hear rumor. Like it happens in baseball a lot.
Oh, big time.
All baseball. The time. Like this. Who was it? Fausto Carmona just got. It wasn't even his real name, and it turns out he was
Danny
like,
Del Monte.
Yeah.
Remember that kid with the World Series?
Yeah.
This kid was up there. He was 6'3", throwing smoke. He's like 21.
Yeah.
Wasn't the shortstop of the Astros?
Yes, I think you're right.
Was it Correa?
Yeah, Correa. I think there may have been some
lied about his age.
Yeah,
somebody. There, some highly touted prospect or shortstop in the league. I can't remember the name. lied about his birth certificate, and then MLB found out.
I guess it doesn't really matter, right?
Richard Park. Do you remember that name?
Mm-hmm.
He apparently didn't have papers or whatever. Oh, like, man. I used to tease him all the time that he was, like, 45 years old. Like, I mean,
you could say the same about LeBron. Is he...
That's the truth. You but know, but like, if they play, like, I guess it doesn't matter.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
Who really cares how old you are as long as you're performing? But
yeah, it's true.
The yeah, man, it wouldn't... Wouldn't
Wasn't
shock
there a guy
me.
That was drafted like high, Greg Oden, Greg
yeah.
Ogden,
Greg Oden, yeah,
the Portland,
yeah,
he looked like he was 50 and he was a yeah. rookie.
He was the oldest looking 19-year-old I've ever seen.
That's probably why he didn't last more than 3-4 years.
Because well,
he had a quote saying,
right
"I think I'm probably the biggest bust of all time." Yeah. That's what he said,
dude. You know who went second in that draft? Kevin Durant.
Really?
What?
Portland took Oden over Durant.
Wow.
Like, and all year it was, who are they going to take? Is it Oden out of Ohio State? Is it Durant out of Texas? And Oden went first, Durant went second, and now wow. we know what's going on.
All right. The Ducks continue their momentum all the way to the conference final as they sweep the weekend over Edmonton. Or the Oilers continue to prove they are for real as they spank the Ducks in Anaheim and close out the series in Game 6.
I know what Noodles is going to say. Do you think it's going seven?
I want to believe in the Oilers. I want to believe in the Oilers.
You can't say that. You got to pick one or the other.
Which one?
I think the Ducks win that series.
I think it's going seven. That's what all I had to do is push it past the weekend. I think Cam Talbot's going to steal a game. He needs to.
I'm on Anaheim here, too. Yeah, I think
flexed,
that was...
They flexed and showed them something that they can't handle.
Pretty big statement.
All they have to do is if Edmonton plays like they did in the first period, That was dominating.
But here's the amazing thing. You're right. No one cares about what McDavid did because Getzlaf stole the show.
Exactly. You're
like
right.
The second and third, it was all Getzlaf.
Was
and
ridiculous.
Playoff hockey, yeah, I mean, you know right. it. It's 60-minute yeah. hockey, right?
Well,
nowadays, I mean, 2-goal leads, 3-goal leads, nothing matters anymore.
It's got nothing to do with Getzlaf. John Gibson, he's still inconsistent for me. My line.
Would this be considered a choke job if Edmonton loses?
No.
No.
Up
way.
2-0.
No way.
No?
I consider them overachievers as it is. I mean, I didn't think they'd be this good this year.
I don't think you're wrong in that.
Yeah.
I mean, so at the beginning of the year, I didn't see this.
I mean, all the criticism they got earlier in the year with some of the moves that they made and
mm-hmm. yeah.
where they're at right now, I think you can't say anything bad about them.
I agree.
Lonzo and LeVar Ball's new shoe shuts down the website over the weekend due to so many sales. Or... sales numbers leak on the new Baller sneakers, and the joke is all on LeVar for thinking it was going to work.
I want the joke on LeVar.
I think this thing is going to just be a massive dump in his own shorts.
I think so, too.
I'm a little concerned that that's where it's trending.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to shut down the site. There's no way.
No, but they're going to hope that it gets lots of traffic. Like, I'll go on the site to take a look at it. There's not a chance I'm spending $500 on it.
I think it's embarrassing.
It's yeah. completely embarrassing.
For a guy who's never played an NBA game to come out and think he's a bigger star than LeBron and Jordan and all these guys.
What do you think? Do you think Nabauskas will have a pair on next year?
Not a chance.
I'll bet you Nabil would buy a pair of those. I'd be willing to put I'd put $495 down that Nabil would be the kind of
not
guy that would buy a pair of big baller brand shoes. And shout out to our boy Ken Pagan.
Yes.
Just sent us an email. Carlo is thinking of former shortstop Miguel Tejada.
Tejada
of
that's
the Orioles.
Who it was.
He
lied about his age.
Ken's a big.
He's a baseball savant.
He was in Houston that year, was yeah. he, with the Orioles?
He was. He was in Baltimore, and then he ended his career, I believe, in Houston.
Yeah.
And he was two years older than reported.
That's right.
That sneaky that's right. Miguel Tejada. Yeah.
Wasn't he in Oakland a long time?
Yeah.
He
was, not a long time. I think he maybe had a stop there.
He was money. He also got caught up in the PEDs, and this guy was taking roids. No one knew
just
what age he was.
See, but I don't know if you guys talked about this, but that's the thing that bothers me about baseball is they keep talking about the past and all these guys taking
right.
PEDs. You were allowed to back then, you know, like leave it alone.
Right?
Who cares?
They didn't test.
They didn't test. If
yeah.
somebody wanted to take steroids back in the day, when you weren't being tested for it. It's their own decision. Leave it alone.
Mark McGwire's forearms were the size of my legs. They were massive. Like, he was...
I've got a question for you.
Yes.
If steroids weren't tested for, and you said to yourself, if I take this drug and I had a chance to make millions of dollars, would you do it?
Yeah. I would ask about the side effects. I mean, all of that health effects.
Enough.
But I mean, you would.
You would think twice about it.
You would do it.
I think the only way I would do it is if I started playing and I was like, I'm slower than everybody else. Like I was getting the crap beat out of me, and it was just like you literally had to do it to keep up.
That's why it's never going to stop, because you're going to get people in AAA that realize if they take it, instead of riding buses, they're in the majors. And it would be totally hypocritical of me. Colabello is a perfect example. I would take it in a heartbeat if you told me I was going to make $10 million and be in the majors.
Right.
I would. Now, I think the problem that people had was Barry Bonds was already the best player in the league. Why are you taking it?
Yeah.
A-Rod was already the best player. Why are you taking it? Why is Roger Clemens taking it? I think that's what rubbed people the wrong way, that the greatest of the greats were taking it. But I could understand where the guy in AAA was like, I think I can make it to the majors if I add a little bit of pop. Was taking it. Like, it's the truth.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Future headlines. We'll come back, wrap it up. Carlo Colaiacovo in studio. We'll get to three stars, best bets as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, quickly, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. You sold me on St. Louis tonight, and I'm under the number in the Edmonton-Anaheim game. Throw down 20, and you can score 52. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, get way into the game. Well, it's been fun. We've had Carlo Colaiacovo in studio for the whole hour. How's that feel, buddy, coming in here and shooting it?
Awesome, man. Love it.
More than friend of the show.
I'm a yes guy.
Yes. Big time yes
big
guy.
Yes. Big
yes guy.
Yes guy and having Carlo back at some point?
Yes guy.
Yes guy. Yes guy.
Big time yes guy. All right, buddy.
Love it. Well, thanks.
That's going to get you in the good books, man. Yeah. All our horrible phrases that we use all the time. We got to get you back in here down the road, man. It's been a blast. And say hi to the family. And you got two young kids now.
Two, yeah.
So they're waiting for you, I would assume, at home.
A lot of work.
Well, hopefully they're sleeping when I get home.
It is.
I'm in the same boat. I got
a long way home, pal.
17-month-old at home, and chances are she will not be sleeping.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, buddy. Thanks for popping in.
My pleasure, man.
Really
thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
There he is, Carlo Colaiacovo, our main man. 10K this weekend. Full updates on Monday.
I think there's a chance.
Full updates on Monday. You feel like we're going to get through this, Carlo?
Good luck, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Honestly.
Any kind of bad weather, I ain't showing
good
up.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's that's the way we should go out. Raptors-Cavs up next on TSN 1050, Game 3. Enjoy that. We're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.